Selectmen's meeting, April 15th, 2020.
Here alone in Gilbert.
Amanda Pelletier.
Pelletier, alone in Tilton.
Ray Massey, alone, Samerton. Story of your life.
Paul Dexter, Atlantic Safety Building with Deputy Taylor.
Anybody else? Okay, for the purposes of this meeting, we will do away with the Pledge of Allegiance. Is there anybody out there who wishes to make a public comment? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. The short-term rentals executive order 27 from our Governor Christopher Sununu. This will probably roll over into another discussion that we will have a little bit later on. But I don't know if everybody has seen this order, but basically what the order is saying that because of the spread of COVID-19, he is directing all lodging providers within the state of New Hampshire are hereby restricted to provide lodging for vulnerable populations and essential workers only, as the terms are defined in this order. For the purpose of this order, lodging providers shall include hotels, motels, bed and breakfast, inns, and short-term rentals, such as those made available through VRBO, HomeAway, Airbnb, and other services. And he goes on to give a definition of vulnerable population, and he also goes on to give a definition of essential workers and the vulnerable people. He also says in this order that online reservations shall be suspended and lodging providers shall post a predominant notice on their web platforms to advise potential guests that reservations for lodging in New Hampshire, as allowed by this order, shall be accepted only by phone. Okay, I know there was one question that was provided, and Trish talked to NHMA,
So I had asked Chris to put this on the agenda just so we were all aware of it. I don't think it's a problem for us right now. I talked with Chief Hankard this morning. Steel Hill is already shut down. They're not taking anybody right now. Same with the Lake House out at Ferry Point. Yeah, we know we have an issue that we don't have any over insight to any of the unregulated, like the Airbnb stuff. But the places we know that do, you know, formal business as hotels and motels are in compliance. So I think we're as good as we can be for right now. I think we'll just have to kind of try to be vigilant if we get a sense that anybody, while this is still in place, is renting any local properties individually.
Yeah, we may have to talk to them.
But I think overall,
there was one that came up that I saw on Craigslist. It was on Blackbrook. It said, rent this house for $4,000 a month, quarantine up in beautiful New Hampshire. They've since taken the post down, but it is in Samberton, right over the Meredith line. So just be aware of that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like I said, if we see something come up, we'll have to reach out and get in touch with folks. But
yeah, and Paul, I saw your sign down by me that says if you're coming to New Hampshire to stay, quarantine for 14 days. Thank you very much for putting that sign up. I think it's very appropriate.
Yep, absolutely.
And Jim, I don't know if this question came from you about the gray area of
we don't have to worry about it because they're shut down. They're not taking anybody in right now, so They were proactive. Steelhill was very good about getting out in front of this and stopping even before the governor's order came out. So.
Okay, yeah, and I know a couple of months ago I was approached by Steve Moore, and I know I heard some comments from Paul Dexter about this also. And I think once this is over, we're going to have to task the planning board to come up with something that we can put into our plans and procedures manual, addressing this issue in a non COVID-19 or non pandemic time frame.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that later once the pandemic is over.
Yeah. So like I said, I think for right now we're good. But as Mike pointed out, we'll just have to keep our eyes open for, Craigslist or Airbnb, any of that kind of stuff that might pop up, and make sure that those get taken down until the order's lifted.
Yeah. I talked to Monty the other day, and when I saw this, I was going to give him a copy, but I guess you've already talked to him about it. Jim?
But I know from talking with Steve, they're already, everybody's in compliance, so.
Yeah, this is Steve Eckert. I did talk to Monty a couple weeks ago, and he said at that time he was already shut down.
Yeah, okay. So this came out on April,
April 6th.
April 13th that's the legal inquiry, okay. Yeah. Okay. So we've got that taken care of. We'll move on to Paul Dexter's favorite subject. Paul, you want to talk about your fire truck? Or you're going to leave that to the deputy chief?
Nope, I'm trying to get my mute button off.
Right next to the hang-up.
We did get copies of everything you sent in to put in our package, so we have copies of that.
Yep, okay. So as you know from my memo, we spent the last 10 months or so building the specifications for the replacement of the engine. And even with this whole COVID-19 thing going on, I didn't want to put this out any further than we absolutely had to. Because it's bad enough that it takes a year to build a fire truck, and I didn't want to push that out any further. So I thought it would be good timing to start bringing that forward. And so we've received the two specification and bids from two out of the four vendors. And as going through those bid specs, it's going to be my recommendation to go with E1 Products, to source the emergency products out of Vermont as the distributor for replacement of the engine. Now they are about $12,000 higher than the lower bidder, but after final inspection of all the specs, we find that $12,000 is quite honestly eaten up in a lot of positives with the E1 engine. Particularly a lot more storage capacity from compartmentation and equipment. As I said, with the engine we have now, we're close to doubling the amount of compartment space with this with the E1 engine compared to the current engine that we have in service. So the space is huge. And quite honestly, we've dealt with E1. They're the company that built our tanker back in 2012. And so I'm very comfortable with making that recommendation to go with awarding them the bid.
Yeah, the one thing in reading the bids and looking at them, the one thing that really stood out for me was the fact that E1 offers on-site service, whereas the other one does not. So
They are a local New Hampshire company, Suffin, Larry Dingy Machine out of Cornish, New Hampshire. But again, they don't offer any type of road service, E everyone has a field maintenance van. They're actually also starting to talk about getting into doing regular preventive maintenance stuff, oil lube, those types of things, that from a remote standpoint will be very valuable for us, where we don't have to either send two staff members to drive a truck somewhere, drop it off, have them come back, and tie up that staff, where we can have a truck out of service for just a couple hours while they come here and do the work remotely.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about. Rather than having a truck out of service for days, it'll be out of service for hours, and then we get it back. And we don't have to go to them. We can keep our staff here.
Correct. Does the board have any questions regarding the truck?
Jim, I don't have any.
With what was provided, with the specs that were provided, it looks pretty good.
Okay.
The other thing that you were mentioning that I can see might be a problem with housing our truck is the fact that that air conditioning compressor is on top, which forces the light bar or whatever lights we put on it to go higher.
Yeah, that was a big factor. You know, we already have limited space, even though we have very high doors and the station is high, because of the way the overhead doors work, where the chain comes in the center of the door as it comes up. We were actually out there last week measuring with the current truck and figuring out when the, because these cabs lift up so we can access the engine. We're up there with tape measures, making sure that everything was going to fit because of that raised cab to begin with. But you add another 14 inches to that, we would not be able to raise the cab of the fire truck inside the building. We would have to take it out on the front apron to do it, or do it with the doors closed.
Which means that it's during the winter that could be a problem.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
So the other thing was, I spoke to Tom this morning, and he asked that I send which I quite honestly had forgotten to do. I know I normally do it for requests that I send in, a sample motion. Did you both get that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So the other thing too, that with the prepayment discount, which if we leave that $500,000 in the bank for a year before we receive the truck, we're certainly not going to collect $11,500 worth of interest on it. So I felt that it was a very good deal to save that kind of money, was to do that. Now, with that, by paying in front of the purchase, as normal procedures, and Jim is probably very familiar with this coming from the military, there will be a performance bond that will be in the name of the town of Samberton, that if, God forbid, emergency E1 products goes out of business and is not able to fulfill the order, we will be made whole by the insurance company.
Paul?
Yes.
I was an acquisition officer for 5 years for the Air Force, so I know about it too.
Yep, you definitely know about it.
Yep.
So, and I did, I did speak with Megan Fargus, with the trustees of the trust funds, because one concern I had was the timing of this, plus the timing of this COVID-19 issue, that, you know, because this process would be, the town cuts a check for the $508,000 out of the general fund, and then in turn, the capital reserve fund reimburses the capital fund, or the general fund. So I wanted to make sure that this was kind of a seamless process, where we weren't out a month or more with having $500,000 out of the general fund
during this COVID-19 process.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused by your one sentence in that, or Tricia's one sentence in that said, "My attempt is to keep good cash flow and not strap the town with a big payment and then have to wait for reimbursement with this from the CRM."
Correct. So that was a bit of that. So I've worked with Megan. I spoke with her, and her recommendation would be for the board to vote to move the $80,000, however it's been done in the past, earlier than the end of June date. Because that $80,000 that's going in for this year will make that $508,000 whole. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And she had no problem being simple.
Okay, so...
So, Paul, as a gentleman, when are you looking to cut that check for $508,000?
Well, we're probably talking within 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks tops, when I talk to the vendor. We still have a bunch of paperwork to fill out, get the performance bond all squared away. There's still probably a good 3 to 4 weeks before a check will be due.
Okay. I just want to make sure, have you talked to Karen at all? Or just to get her sense of the general health of the general fund right now?
I have.
Even though we're going to replace it pretty quickly right out of the CRF, you know, with Megan's help.
Stop.
We just don't want to. I think we're in good shape because we've gotten a lot of tax revenues in, but we just want to make sure that we're not going to cut ourselves too close.
Correct. And I think my vendor is very understanding of that if we have to move it out.
Okay.
You know, to a little bit further. We aren't going to be able to push it out to July 1st, though.
Yeah, no. I just make sure we don't have anything large and looming that's going to take us down.
I'll communicate with Karen regarding that, just to make sure that the general fund is healthy. And I'm hoping, you know, we're probably not talking a huge time frame for that money being out of the general fund before it's reimbursed.
Yeah, I would. If Megan's already got the money lined up and it's free, unencumbered, and the trustees can move it over, yeah, it shouldn't be long at all.
Yeah, I've been warning her for 2 years that this was coming. So maybe long term.
Nah, that's good.
Okay, well, I'm ready to make a motion then. So I would make a motion to approve the purchase of the E1 Typhoon Hedge stainless steel bumper and to take advantage of the prepayment discount of $11,500, which will include a performance bond, and to trade in the current Engine 3 to award the bid to
Sorcy.
Yeah, DeSourcy Emergency Products LLC in the amount of $508,669 to come from the Fire Truck Capital Reserve Fund. Furthermore, due to the COVID-19 restrictions underway at this time, I would ask us to approve Paul Dexter to sign all appropriate documentations for the purchase.
Second.
Okay, Tom.
It was Tom, yep.
Yeah, okay. Tom, second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. The vote on this will be roll call vote. Tom Salatello?
Yes.
Jim Dick?
Yes.
John Olmsted also says yes. The motion passes by unanimous vote. So, how do we want to move the money? My next question. Any suggestions? suggestions?
I would make a motion that we direct the treasurer to move the $80,000 scheduled for the fire truck capital reserve fund. By April 24th, in order to facilitate the purchase.
I'll second that motion. Any comments about the motion? Hearing
Paul,
that,
I
will. I
mean, you don't think there's a problem with that? Wait another week to get it?
Yeah, I think that's fine. And then normally afterwards, once the check is cut, then the board would have to approve, Trish, help me out. What do they call that form to get reimbursed?
Oh, implicit transfer form?
No. The trustees need it in writing with a copy of the check. Manifest, maybe?
Yeah, well, once we've got that, yeah, then we'll...
Correct. And then that just goes to the
trustees.
Yeah, to cut the check.
Okay. This would be a new process
okay.
for me.
Okay, any other comments about the motion? Hearing none, I'll do a roll call vote. Tom Solotello.
Yes.
Jim Dick.
Yes.
John Olmstead says yes also. Motion passes by unanimous vote.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
No, thanks for all that groundwork, Paul. That was great. Makes it easy.
Yeah.
Easy for us, not for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good luck. I want to ride in that shiny new fire truck when it gets here. Okay. Moving on, the Huber Drive RFP. We have a copy of the request for proposal in here.
Yeah, so if you remember, this is the one that Johnny brought up last week. He has some leftover money in FY20. He wanted to use it to get a head start on Huber Drive before it needs to be totally reclaimed. But because it was going to be a significant amount, we asked him to do a separate RFP. So that's what he's given us for consideration.
I read through the RFP. I read through the RFP, and I don't see any problems with it. So.
Yeah.
This is Johnny. I am here if you guys have any questions.
Nope. Look good.
Okay. Nope. The RFP looks good, Johnny. As far as I'm concerned, you can go ahead and put it out. Any other selectmen have any comments or concerns about it?
No.
No, I think it looks good. Yeah, and that way it's clean. We don't have any issues with trying to add it to that existing one. So.
Yeah.
It is stuff like know about it.
Yeah, this way it makes it a totally separate. And if we get a problem with one, it doesn't affect the other one. So. Okay. You have permission to put out the RFP then, Johnny.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Wow, we're moving fast tonight, folks. Earned pay. Chief Hankard, you're up.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. The reason I'm here is earlier in the year, we did request an extension of our vacation time because I do have, myself included, several officers that have been here a long time. And therefore, we do generate quite a bit of, earned time, vacation time, and that sort of thing. Because of our staffing in 2019 coming into 2020, Basically, I only had four certified officers that were able to work. So taking any kind of vacation time was pretty much impossible. And then in 2020, I think it was in maybe February, Warren Thompson was able to come out of training, and he, you know, supplemented us till five, which then that would allow, typically would allow more time to use that earned time. But then COVID-19 hit, and the problem with what that causes us with COVID-19 is, obviously, we have to be prepared if one of my guys goes out for a possible exposure or for anything like that. Anyone who was on vacation would be immediately called back. By putting someone on time off, then forces others into overtime, which then, you know, could obviously put stress on them and cause them to have to work more. In fact, because of COVID-19, we're not doing details now because I don't want the guys to get run down doing extra stuff. And also, I mean, what would you do on vacation right now? There's really nothing to do.
That's Johnny. He's going next week.
Yeah. But, it, you know, it just limits what the guys can do, you know, and that sort of thing. So I know, as far as I know, this has been before. I mean, I've had to lose vacation time myself in the past, which, of course, you know, is miserable. And, you know, I have especially Lieutenant McIntosh and myself, and I understand Chief Dexter, we'll bring him into this in a minute, too, is kind of in a similar boat. You know, it's a significant hit of time. So my budget, the way it is, because of the fact that we weren't able to hire a sixth officer until earlier this year, and then that officer obviously did not work out, so he is no longer with us. That line does have a significant amount of, or will have a significant amount of money left in it. And at now, with the COVID issue that was going on, it's a horrible time to hire an officer. So I'm really not actively seeking out a full-time officer right now, just because the process is not conducive to the, you know, social distancing and all this extra stuff that we're doing at the moment. Basically, with all that, you know, with all that and being an emergency declaration, and this obviously is very unusual circumstances, I proposed, and I'm sure you have in front of you, the fact to basically pay the officers out for their money or for their hours that they were set to lose. Chief Dexter also has, I believe he said 40-ish, 46-ish hours on his. I know he does not have the room in his budget to cover that, so I can cover his with a transfer from mine, and then I own him, and I will not let him forget that.
You're no longer a tenant, you're the landlord.
Exactly.
It's never going to happen.
So basically, that's my proposal for my department. It was myself for 86 and a half hours, Lieutenant McIntosh 112, Officer Morton for 12, and the total payout, and the payout is basically what we would get if we had left, if we had, like, if I had retired or whatever. It's basically just straight pay for those hours, and the total comes to $6,409.94. That would be for my department, and then Paul, I get you crunch the numbers for yourself.
Yeah, I have 48 hours that are still showing as over my 200, and that equates to $1,507.68. Okay, do we...
Can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead, Trish.
How many hours would then that leave you, Chief Hankard and Dexter, with, and for your other employees left on the books after, if you were to get that payout?
Well, what that does is that leaves us at the 200.
Oh, just at the flat. Okay.
So that basically cuts us at the 200 because we are able to carry over 200 hours at the end of the year. So that's just the hours we would have lost. And it's
my two full-timers aren't at that level where they are maxed out yet. I'm the only one maxing out.
So basically, this is just the use or lose time.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. And we had only extended that through May, and clearly that's not going to happen with everything going on. So,
correct.
From my perspective, I think this is a great way to handle it.
Yeah, and this isn't something wouldn't be worried about us coming every year to do this. I mean, if you wanted to do it, it would be great if we have the money for it. But obviously, these are pretty extenuating circumstances as far as just the ability to use it and what's going on with the state of emergency and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Okay.
If I may add something, John, Trish and I spoke today that, you know, this has been a reoccurring issue over many years. This isn't just something new that's happening. And that, you know, maybe at some point, once things sugar off a little bit and we can get our head above water, then maybe it's time to start looking at that policy, regarding vacation, just to make sure our folks are either taking it or being compensated for it.
That would be a topic for a later discussion.
Absolutely.
And I just did a quick calculation.
$7,917.62.
That's the one. Yep.
All right, so Paul was 1507.68.
Yes.
And the grand total with the police department is $7,917.62.
Okay, so we're looking for a motion for $7,917.62.
Correct.
Okay.
I will make a motion that we authorize the payment of $7,917.62 to cover annual leave that would have been lost due to the ongoing
COVID-19.
Corona situation. Yep. For Police Chief Hankard, Lieutenant McIntosh, Officer Morton, and Fire Chief Dexter.
Okay, I will second that motion. Is there any discussion of the motion?
Yeah, I have a question. Are there any other town employees that are in the same situation as far as Lisa?
I could check into that. I believe that Peg is getting close to her hours as well, and she had a vacation planned that was canceled, so she's unable to go now. So I'm not sure what she's going to do with that time. I think that was one, and I think that the town clerk has some time as well.
Okay, Trish, if you could check with everybody and make sure that nobody else is over that 200-hour limit, because, then we can make another motion at another meeting to take care of that also.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, any other comments to the motion? Hearing none, I'll do a roll call vote. Tom Salatello?
Yes.
Jim Ditt?
Yes.
John Olmsted says yes also. Motion passes unanimously. I guess the powers that be will take care of dispersing the checks for them.
Yeah, and thank you. And what I'll do is I'll get those for my guys. I'll get those PAS to you, Trish.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll do the same with a PAF from my office.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That way we'll have the paper trail to cover us.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, any other comments on this topic before we move on? Hearing none, that completes our new business. Trish, do we have any old business to discuss?
Nope, not right now.
Okay. In that case, we'll move on to the town administrator's report. And I see we have something here in our package about dirt road proposals.
Yeah, this is a little bit of correspondence that I think you guys all received.
Yeah, so Trish, I can jump in on this one because I've had contact with Karen Bordeaux on it. So Karen, as you recall, submitted a complaint because she wasn't happy with the conditions on Knox Mountain Road due to mud season, which Johnny and Roy went up and took a look at and did some work up there. Subsequent to that, she had commented that she had submitted a series of proposals last year about an improvement plan for the roads and never heard anything about it. So I encouraged her to go ahead and send it in again so we could see it, at least be able to read it and talk about it. So that's what's in the package. I did share it with Johnny. He actually sent me back a very detailed response where he outlined what he's done or, what his response was to each of those things. So, again, from my perspective, there's nothing in here that he's not aware of. Her recommendation, which, even Johnny agrees is a good one, of opening up, the daylight to some of these roads so they dry a little better. That's something Johnny's been looking at, and there's some other, there are other moving pieces to that. It's not as simple as just cutting down some trees, but he's working some tree plans and removals along some of the roads right now. It's something we received, and I can give Karen the feedback that we've discussed it with the highway director, and it's various parts of that are in progress. But it was more, she felt like it had never gotten any attention last year, and I don't know what happened to it, previous administration. But that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it either.
No, I don't either.
I don't think it made it past the town administrator last spring.
The previous town administrator.
Yeah, the one we had last spring.
Yeah.
Not
the one we've got now.
I thought it was good. I appreciate her putting together an input. That's what we need is ideas. And like you said, Johnny's aware of all of them, and a lot of those things are already in the works.
Yeah, I read through them, and they're pretty good inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I mean, her hubby used to be the highway director, so I'm sure he had some say in that. But,
yeah.
So that was really
that issue.
Okay. Any other comments on this issue? Okay, Trish.
Well, I think
you got anything
think
else for us?
Tom's off.
The lonely clerk wants to get a word in here. I think where Karen went to the effort, which was pretty substantial, I think, to put together that document, I think somebody should sit down and have a conversation with her about her recommendations and of those recommendations she made, which ones seem reasonable in terms of going forward with trying to make some of those improvements you're suggesting. What I'm trying to say is I don't want to see a situation where someone takes the time like that to submit something and no one gets back to them, and no one takes the proposal seriously. And so I think there should be some type of response.
And I can take what Johnny provided to me when I sent him the original, and work with him to put something together, because he pretty much goes through point by point and talks about each of the recommendations she makes. So I think we've got a good start on that. So I can take that on.
Okay. I just think being responsive to citizens when they submit something.
Yeah, that's
in writing that they put a lot of time into. That's important. That's all.
Yeah, and that's why I encouraged her to send it back when she said, I sent it in last year and never heard anything about it. So
I never saw it, and I never saw it. So.
Okay. I'll work with Johnny on getting her some answers.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Trish, do we have anything else?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. We're moving right along with the Atlantic Broadband people. Going to meet with them over the telephone tomorrow to work out sort of the logistics of the phone tree, auto attendant, background information. So that's moving along quite well. They came last week and met with me in the town office building, and Chief Dexter and Chief Henkert over in the life safety building. And IT Dave is going to be running some wires in the evening time, so it's not going to be interfering with anybody who may be in the building during the day in preparation for that, just to let you guys know. I have spoke with Johnny quite a bit lately, or this morning actually. We talked about he's lifting some of the road bans. So right now, the ones that we currently have road bans on Knox Mountain, Eastman, and Hermit Woods Road. And then gradually his crews have been out starting to do some grading as the roads become ready. So that's just sort of what they're working on right now. And that's really, and then the other thing is I'm working on an impact survey for the New Hampshire Municipal Association. They sent out a survey for all the municipal managers in the area asking to potentially look at what sort of impact the virus has had on our communities, like certain things like paying extra overtime. So I think that one of the things that I will be reporting on is how we're paying our employees out for their time that they can't take off during the pandemic. And then I'm going to also make note of all of the additional IT expenses that we currently have to be able to still support government functions remotely. And then they had talked about on the listserv today about how it impacts like the meals and rooms tax and any other revenues that we were anticipating that weren't even asked about in the survey. And the answer, NHMA's answer to that was, well, they already know that you're going to be missing out on that. So if you see the survey, and wonder why it looks looks a little bit watered down, I think. But I think it's just supposed to be a general overview of, kind of what it's going to look like at the end of it.
Yeah, I think this is supposed to be an input to the governor's office that's handling the emergency relief and recovery.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to get all the unintended consequences of what's happening. So, yeah, meals tax, they know, but what else? We're having to do, more IT, all the things that Trish just mentioned, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Trish.
Yeah, so if anybody else has any IT things that sort of crop up, if we can, or anything else that's COVID related, to just make note of it and continually, write it down so that we have that sort of paper trail.
Yeah, okay.
And that's all I have for right now.
Okay. Thank you again, Trish, for the hard work.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, selectmen's reports. I did not get a chance to get into the office today to sign checks, but I will do that first thing tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've already done them, so we should be good to go after that.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Things were kind of hectic here at the house.
Trish, do you know what time? Is Karen coming in tomorrow?
Karen?
I know she's concerned about overlap, so.
Karen generally comes in on Wednesdays.
Okay.
During the morning, and then.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't.
Peggy is usually there on Thursdays. However, she's told me that she's unable to come in tomorrow. She's not feeling well, so. So she's going to stay home, but we have it covered to disperse the checks. Terry and I.
Karen had signed everything, and okay. I just didn't want to make sure, since it's an off day, that we didn't have any overlap with anybody who didn't need to be around other folks.
Yeah, that's usually why I try and tell Trish when I'm coming into the office, so that she can warn somebody, or if there's anybody that's going to be there at the same time, she can let me know.
Yep, I can certainly do that. Continue to do that.
Okay. I'm going to have my first planning board meeting tomorrow night via teleconference. So I don't have anything other than that as far as meetings or reports to give out. Anybody else have anything?
So we had a Building Construction Committee meeting last Thursday, obviously virtually. Continuing to work with BPS on different options. I think we're up to option 6 now we've asked for, but they're being really responsive. And it's good because we're getting a good look at some of the ideas that, as far as we know, never really got looked into last time around. So, you know, what would it take to put a second story on the current building? What about expanding around the current building? What about putting a standalone, you know, police department or a standalone office up on the hill behind Old Town Hall? So that's, we're trying to keep that moving forward. We don't want to lose the momentum. At the same time, we recognize that, you know, depending on what happens through all of this COVID stuff, you know, next year may not be the year to be talking to people about, you know, a new bond. So we'll just try to get the work done and have it all available. So that's all going along well. Had a Historic District Commission meeting last night, approved an application for repainting one of the houses up on Tower Hill Road, just up from the square. So that'll be moving forward. And then I'm just about done with that federal grant application. Again, got some great support out of Keith McVeigh at BPS to put the numbers together. Coming in a lot higher than I expected, but it's still within the window of what they're willing to offer. So hopefully we'll get that wrapped up and submitted this week. Then we just wait, see what happens. We already talked about the dirt road thing, so that's it.
Yep. Thank you, Jim. Tom, you have anything?
No, not really. Just that, if the board wants, we can do a resolution to nominate Jim Dick to be Secretary of the Navy. Do a better job than the bigger one. And the only other thing is we need to keep in mind our commitment to maybe over the summer work with the people down in the Bay Area about the petition they submitted and trying to help them get some numbers and word properly a petition to come back next year. so that he don't forget.
Speaking of which,
he don't forget about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. Trish, have you heard anything back about getting an electronic version of that engineering survey or engineering study?
No.
I haven't heard anything back from them. I just submitted, I believe, which is the final payment, so I can circle back and see if the PDF is available. Otherwise, there's two huge books right outside my office for people to take a look at.
Yeah, but, you know, we had talked at town meeting about trying to get that available online so people could have it. So we'll have to take a look, and hopefully they should be able to gin one up for us pretty easily.
Yep.
Everything nowadays has got a save the PDF button on it. So.
Right, or at least part, like the bulk of it. Maybe not every appendix of it, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, before we leave Slackman's reports, I'd just like to put one bug in Tom's ear and Jim's ear, and Trish too. Once this pandemic is over and we're able to get back together again, I think we should put something together in appreciation for the people that work for the town as an appreciation luncheon or something along that line, and possibly even maybe those of us that can afford it chip in and even have it catered instead of having your usual potluck, just as an appreciation to all the people that have worked so hard for the town.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I'd be glad to put some money into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can talk about that when we get closer to the light at the end of the tunnel. That tunnel still looks awful small, and that light is just a little tiny dim thing at the end right now.
Yeah, well, I saw an interview with the governor yesterday, I think it was, maybe it was Monday. You know, they were asking him about when things were going to get lifted and school was going to go back. And he said he would be making a decision later this week, but he said, frankly, it doesn't look very good. So I would expect they're going to extend this through June.
So. Yeah, he's made comment about virtual schooling until the end of the school year, so this isn't going to end anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that he's doing a really good job of managing the situation for the state of New Hampshire, and the feedback I get from other people, regardless of their political affiliation, most of them agree with how he's handling the situation and they're responding to the issues that are coming up in New Hampshire. And I was really pleased to see also that yesterday he authorized $300 additional payment to frontline workers who work in nursing homes. And those folks will make a lot of money, and I think that $300 payment, weekly payment to them during this situation, I think it's well deserved, and I think most folks would really appreciate the fact that there's political leaders that support what they're doing, even though, you know, they don't make a lot of money or get a lot of recognition publicly. And so I'm generally pleased with how it's handling this situation, and I think that's very positive for the town and the people in the state.
Yeah, Tom, I agree. I heard the governor on the radio this morning, and boy, he's got a handle on everything, you know. And I know he's got a lot run on his plate, so it's impressive.
Yes, it is. I've seen him. I've seen his interviews, and watched him on some of the stuff that's on social media, and he's he's right there. Somebody asks him a question, and he doesn't hem and haw or do anything like that. He's got an answer, and it's usually a very good, very, very rock solid answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Select board. Is that everything for the selectmen's reports?
That's it
for me.
If so, we'll move on to the select board signatures, and I think we've got those all covered. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to get in there today because things were busy, but I will do that first thing in the morning tomorrow.
I stopped in this afternoon and signed the manifest.
Okay. I will still stop in tomorrow morning and just double check, make sure everything that I need to sign is signed.
Yeah, there is a file there with some elderly solar exemptions, some timber tax, and that sort of thing too. So just make sure those all.
Okay. Okay. I will stop in tomorrow morning. Okay, then moving on, we've got the minutes of our last meeting, and I would make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen minutes for April 1st, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second that. This is Jim.
I briefly read through it, and I didn't really see anything glaring that stood out.
Yeah, I sent Trish a couple of minor changes, but yeah, overall they look really good.
Okay. Trish, would you, I don't know if Sue's on the line, but Trish,
I am.
Would pass on. You are? Okay. Sue,
sir.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're doing a very, very good job with the minutes.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the floor. I will take a roll call vote for the motion then, unless there's any further discussion of the motion. Hearing none, Tom Solotello.
Yes.
Jim Dent.
Yes.
John Olmsted says yes too, and the motion passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. Okay, next board meeting will be April 29th, 2020, 5 p.m. Again, we will do it telephonically. Unless you hear otherwise, it will be telephonically. So that leaves us with just one motion left. Am I going to hear from the moral minority?
Yeah, the moral minority, speaking for the majority, takes the motion that we adjourn until the 29th.
This is Jim, I second.
Okay, again, I have to take a roll call vote on the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, Tom Solotello.
Yes.
Jim Dick.
Yes.
John Olmsted says yes. We are in adjournment. The motion passes. We are in adjournment at 6:03 p.m. Thank you all for being here, and all of you out there in Radio Land, thank you for being with us also.
All right, stay safe.
Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Stay safe and healthy.
Good night.